Wait to be called upon before speaking. Identify yourself first and last name for the record and be succinct, remembering that other meeting participants may be waiting to be called on. Finally, please be aware that we're making an audio recording of the meeting, which will be posted on the members section of the PAC website tomorrow. It'll remain there till December 8th. Thank you, and here is your president.
Thank you, Betsy. And good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here in this historic moment. On May 11th, 1880, the Providence Art Club held its first general meeting when then President James Sullivan Lincoln gave an address followed by a reading of the Constitution. And during the recess, allowed for signing for membership. The list quickly mounted to more than 100 names. This is an excerpt from the 2019-2020 yearbook. How far we've come. Sitting atop Thomas Street, four historic buildings, and one of the most photographed streetscapes. Now with over 600 members, the Providence Art Club is one of the oldest and most respected art clubs in the country. This is a historic moment. The thoughtful and vital work of the Governance Committee over a period of 2.5 years in collaboration with consultant Gail Gifford and Art Club legal counsel Doug Giron has brought this document into the 21st century without compromising the historical integrity and spirit of this special institution. Our founders understood that they could not create an infallible document with wording included that would have a provision for every possible problem. Therefore, a provision was included that gave, that gave the members the ability to change as deemed necessary and appropriate. This is not a rewrite of our Constitution, but a reorganization that is meant to confirm and solidify the operations of the club to the 21st century. This meeting is being provided to answer members' questions regarding the proposed amended Constitution. I'd like to thank everyone on the Governance Committee for their work, with special thanks to Lorraine Hines, Susan Aitchison, and Caroline Reed for bringing their experience and abundant knowledge of governance matters to the committee. And hats off to Sean Kenny, Vice President and Chair of Governance, for his positive support during many a long spirited discussion. I want you to know that the requirements have been met to amend the Constitution. Article 6, Section 6, signatures of at least 10 active members on October 19th, 2020, a unanimous vote by the Board of Managers on October 21st, 2020, a notice of unanimous vote of the board posted on the bulletin board on November 7th, 2020, copy of proposed amendments sent to each member on November 9th, 2020, deadline to submit questions to the Board of Managers by November 23rd, 2020. There were 5 questions received. Governance Committee responded promptly in writing to all questions, typically within 24 hours. Questions and responses are posted to the members' portal. Again, I thank you for attending. I will now turn it over to Sean Kenny.
Thank you, Nancy. Good evening, everybody. I hope you're batten down and not blowing away. If you've got a cocktail handy, that probably makes it even better. I'm going to try to get this through this a little bit quickly. There's been a lot of information out there. I also want to get to dinner and a cocktail. So we've already spoken about why we were doing this in the broadest terms about bringing us compliant up to state laws regarding 501c3s, affirmation of the Board of Managers, people in the interest of the club, and this reorganizing for structure and clarity. I came on the board a little more than 15 years ago at a time of similar change. I was immensely lucky to be there, and Betsy Zimmerman as well, where we had six presidents and maybe 150 years of institutional knowledge to draw on, and more informal system served the club well as it had served the club for the previous 125, 130 years. But a couple of years back, not unlike what happened at the national level, we had our own little constitutional crisis. And we're forced to kind of make some reckonings with someone who was a little bit new to the power and did some things with the Constitution that were a little bit unexpected. So coming out of that, and we came out of it unscathed, we sat down and decided to look at the Constitution and make sure that any little loophole, anything that was a gray area, anything that wouldn't eventually cost us way more money in lawyers' fees was tightened up and clarified. Now, as anyone that's ever gone through a home renovation knows, when you start opening up walls, sometimes you get surprises. So to reiterate what Nancy said, when we took on a consultant, the very first thing we did was question the membership, the staff, the board, to make sure we understood what was most important about this house. When we talk about everything we're doing going forward, we kept the house, we just moved some furniture around and updated the knob and tube wiring in some cases. It does not mean that the club was not served very well for generations by this document. It does not mean it was not served very well by generations of prior leadership. But what it did expose was the fact that when we had a changeover, a sea change, and we lost that 120 years of institutional knowledge, coupled with some gray areas in the Constitution, we were left caught off guard a little bit. So as we started to dig in, we looked at this in phases. The first phase is what you're looking at today. And when we talk about, okay, why now? Why does this need to get done? Well, because we're just starting the renovations. It's not nothing dramatic. It's nothing, it's not, you're not going to notice any changes. Like I said, it's like the wiring, it's little things. It's the things that were always done well, but were never written down or never articulated. As I said, this summer with Carol Fitzsimons, it's that big book that everyone got every time they moved to a different Navy base. So the next part of the components are the committee charters, the job descriptions, the processes, the little things that we've been doing over and over again, very quietly to make this club run more successfully. First time I took on the role of nominations chair, it was basically, make sure you get a couple of names by the April. We've evolved the process into identifying as a pipeline for future leadership. Governance isn't here to rule the club. Governance provides that pipeline of individuals, of processes, of policies, of practices that are more broadly part of the community so that the board can make the best decisions possible. So taking things like the way we've handled nominations, where we reach out into the community and start to identify people and put them into a pipeline, looking back and say, okay, this probably wasn't the best idea that we brought someone in that hasn't already served or led a committee. So it's those little things that are driving this. And again, when you're talking about why this needs to get done now, from my point of view, I'm looking over, we still have the benefit of all those ex-presidents and board members to impart that institutional knowledge when we are crafting that next round of documents. But also we've got a brand new set of tools that we never had before. So as Nancy mentioned, coupled with the institutional knowledge that people like me or Betsy or Nancy or Carl, or Charlie, we now have people like Lorraine and Susan and Caroline and Nick Miles that are newer to the club that bring immense institutional knowledge from governance and process and other nonprofits to couple that up. It's about making sure we safeguard what we love and making sure it's repeatable successfully for future generations. So I've rambled on a little bit, but I think I've answered most of the more pressing questions. Last little bit, because I just got a text a little bit ago from Tom Monahan asking about the line by line red light versions. I've worked in communications for the last 30 years. It's part of my job to suss out information, translate it, make sure all parties understand it, and then get that out in a way that seems logical. We had a discussion about how much we wanted to share with the general membership with respect to a line by line red line version of the Constitution. That information is absolutely available. Every meeting we had was recorded, every meeting in a Google Drive with annotations, both from individuals showing the discussion, showing the pros and the cons. If it was someone that had a little more experience outside, what they thought versus someone that had been here that could impart why it was important to the institution. So I want to reiterate in closing that the decision was not made out of lack of transparency. It was more or less made, trust us, we got this, we've done our job. We don't want to bombard you with information. Here's what we're presenting as the best document possible. We believe strongly in it. We believe we made all the right decisions. However, all that information still exists. So if you feel the need and are a constitutional scholar and want to see that line by line, you are absolutely welcome to it. We have everything you need. With that, I'll turn it back over. Is this the start of our question and answer period?
This is the start of the Q&A. And it is 6:41, so we'll note the time. If you would like to ask a question, you may go to the chat function, or you can raise your hand, I believe, through the reactions, or just simply raise your hand and we'll find you. Mr. Yes. Ames, hold on. You need to unmute. Can you unmute?
Unmuted.
Thank you.
Yes, normally in my experience with nonprofits, changing bylaws is relatively easy and can be done at an annual meeting. Changing a constitution by amendment usually requires two consecutive votes over a 2-year period. What's the status of our bylaws? And why is the Constitution so important to be changed in this manner?
Sure, I could speak a little bit to the why is it so important to, well, as I said, because of a previous constitutional crisis, we felt it was time to address it.
I understand that.
Right, but I will defer to Lorraine or Susan here with terms of process.
The process is that we don't, this was created in 1880. We do not have articles of incorporation and bylaws. We only have a constitution. So per our the review of our attorneys and our accountants regarding the maintenance of our 501c3 status, we are amending a constitution. And we have to follow the rules of the amending the constitution from what is in the present constitution. So we don't have the choice of saying it's going to be 2 years or 3 years. We have to follow exactly what's in the constitution. And that's why you're not seeing a bylaw set, because we have to follow what we already have. Does that help?
That helps a bit. As part of the process to develop bylaws then that would implement the constitution?
Well, we discussed that with the attorneys and their recommendation was just to amend the constitution. So if you go through our constitution now, it follows the same format of what you normally see in bylaws for 501c3 corporations.
Yeah, I looked at it.
Yeah, so you saw the same recording of the same order, members, board, time period, amendments at the end, origin of is at the beginning, all the same pattern as what normally you would see in bylaws.
I just found it personally confusing. Maybe that's because of the original document.
And, it is.
And it's, yeah. It's not commensurate with normal nonprofit procedures in the 21st century.
Exactly. That's why we spent quite a bit of time with the attorneys and accountants discussing that, because we all felt like, oh, why don't we just do articles and bylaws like we see nowadays? But their recommendation is just amend what we have. Mm-hmm.
Thank and you. Susan, to add to that, there is a section in the current constitution that does allow to amend the constitution at an annual meeting or at a special meeting called by the board of managers with appropriate number of signatures in agreement with doing that. So those steps were taken as well.
Understood.
Thank you, Mr. Ames. Are there any more questions? You'd like to raise your hand or let us know by the chat feature.
Yeah, I'm checking too, Nancy, to see.
Yeah. Oh my.
I don't see a lot of videos, so I can't see if people are raising their hands.
Yeah, I'm flipping through.
Yeah.
So while they're scanning for questions, I did reach out to Julia Hubbard today, and we do have 128 affirmative votes against seven individuals asking questions.
Yes.
Then everyone will vote if you haven't voted, you know, already. This was the meeting. Many people wanted to hear what the questions were. Mm-hmm. And everything is posted on the website.
So you'll have until December 7th to cast your vote. Are there any other questions?
I don't see any. Do you?
I do not see any. Let's see.
No, I'm looking, I'm scrolling through, but
yeah.
No, I don't see any questions.
There's one coming through on chat, Nancy.
All right, hold on just a minute. Oh, okay. How is the art club doing financially at the moment?
Who is asking?
This is Charlotte Handy to everyone. How is the art club doing financially at the moment?
Would Kyle handle that?
I think that I will let our treasurer. Carl, if you could unmute.
Yes, I just did.
Thank you.
So thank you for the question. We'll know better in about 4 months, I think, when we get through this winter. As everybody, I think, knows, we applied and received payroll protection program monies, which helped immensely with cash flow. It's a little different for the financial statement because we're not able to book it to income until or whenever we get clarification from the government on that. So that helped us. We're in a decent cash position because of that. The Board of Managers approved a budget that would show a loss of about $270,000 for the year. It will be larger than that, certainly, but it depends how we go through the winter. Seb and his team have done really a fabulous job in continuing to offer the services to this club throughout the summer and the fall. And we have to thank the members also for supporting the club. People have been coming in to eat. We sold, over 250, I think, Thanksgiving dinners. Thanks to everybody, or somewhere in that ballpark. Thanks to everybody's great support. So, but we are in a challenging winter time, and with the pause, it is gonna be bit of a challenge, but working hard on it. We just applied today, as a matter of fact, for a grant under Gina Raimondo's PAWS program. So we're doing everything we can to tap the resources available to us to beef up the cash position of the club. I hope that answers the question.
Charlotte, does that answer your question?
Yes, that did. I just typed in, thank you for
thank you. Thank you, Charlotte.
I was worried about the club and I wanted to know also whether we'd lost any members due to the downturn. I'm sure people were tempted to put their memberships on hiatus or whatever, and I'm hoping not so many did, but is that part of the shortfall that we're seeing?
You know, it's really funny because our membership numbers hold the same. Our membership numbers are still the same. We have lost a few people. I can count on maybe two hands for various reasons. But our membership with new people coming in, with new members coming in, have remained the same. Thank you for your question. Susan Allen asks, okay, if you would unmute.
How's Little Pictures doing?
Little Pictures is phenomenal. Let me think now. So for the first evening, the first day, and I'm sure Seb will also chime in here. But the first day when we had the reception where we had limited numbers of people coming in and out, and it was very successful. It was very well done. There were people there that were monitoring each gallery, and it went very smoothly. So that evening, let me just say, last year we did between, I think it was what, Seb, 30,000 the first evening. This right. year we did $27,000 the first night. So we are on track. I think we are upwards of 60,000 right now. So we are on track. Hopefully we'll get to the $100,000 by Christmas Eve. And, you know, we'll be sending out a lot of constant contact emails to, and social media, of course. And that's done really well for us. But I don't know if everybody saw Michael's interview on the road show, but it will be posted on our website. So that's something that you really don't want to miss. He really did a great job. And we have just amped up. We've amped up our communications. You may have heard us on the radio. So there's a lot of things that are being done. Just because we're in a pandemic doesn't mean that we're resting on our laurels. Everyone is working very, very hard. Seb, would you like to add a comment to that?
I'm just going to echo what Carl said. It's almost a team effort. You know, the staff is doing a phenomenal job. But, you know, we can spin our wheels all day long. If it wasn't for the support of the members, we did, and Carl, I don't want to. So we did 234 Thanksgiving dinners.
How many pies?
Oh, God, 35, 36 pies. Well, maybe I had the 37th. I don't know, but 37 with me. But it was just, and I was in the parking lot. It was just awesome to see the membership be so supportive and be so grateful. You know, this is one of those things that, you know, 2020 brought on to us that we're going to continue. You know, next year, you know, I know Judy loved we're both wearing sweatpants today. That's what we said, Judy and I. But all right. It's just, you know, it's the club. This club is just so unique on, you know, people donating their time, people donating items. You know, we need patio heaters. Boom, we get patio heaters. We need lights. Boom, we get lights. It's just a very special club. And I don't want to steal anybody's thunder. I was in those governance committee meetings probably 98% of the time. And, you know, you folks did a phenomenal job. It's clearer. It's the best way. It's the best way to run the club. So we don't run into what we ran into a couple of years ago. And it's just, that's all I can tell you. It's clearer. It's the right path to go down. And I know it's hard. You know, change is always very difficult at the R Club. And this is a good change.
So. I have another question. And this is from M. McGinnis. I joined late, so if this was already covered, please don't address. My question is, although I understand the process that was followed, I'm wondering what are considered the major changes to the Constitution? Sean?
There was the free drink clause that I think we debated for a while, but got rid of. To go back to what I said in the intro, this really was a case of taking stock of the house and rearranging some furniture and bringing some wire up to the code. I think everyone, you know, had equal input. One of the things that we've made, so there are things that are going to be coming to articulate the successes and the way that the club is run, like I said, that Carol Fitzsimon's big book of how to get stuff done, those things will be pretty substantial because it will include job descriptions, it will include committee charters, it will include committee processes, all the things that I've chaired education, I did chair education for 15 years, and it was constantly saying, how could we do this better? And then let's write this down for the next group. Let's write this down for the next group. So for me, that's one big shift. I think another part that's a little bit different is the idea of bringing term limits in. There was a lot of talk about that. Personally, I can say that my comfort level with enacting something like that is that you broaden the playing field by bringing in people with expertise that maybe we've interviewed some people that almost their first question was, yeah, I'd be interested in being part of the board, or yeah, I'd be interested in the committee chair, but what's the time commitment? I'd like to be able to give back to the art club, but how do I do that? So this is a part of the not only formalizing the process, but also coupling that with institutional knowledge, getting people comfortable with, okay, like we might restrict term limits to get a little bit more people involved, but we're also going to make sure that we bring back former board members, former presidents in consulting and historical roles in a way they haven't been as a non-voting person, so that they can always be there to feed the board with that institutional knowledge. That was just my personal perspective. I don't know if any of the other people that have served on this committee have other thoughts, but again, to Seb's point, it's really not a sea change. It's just a clarification and bringing some of the practices a little bit more in line. Like I was part of a board that had Dan Mechnig, that had Tom Riley, that had David DePetrillo, that had Alice Miles, that had Harley Bartlett, that had Bob Venditto, like people that served a long time and really cared for this organization in a way that truly wouldn't be possible to do that anymore. And then on the flip side of that, we also have the benefit of Nancy Plunkett and Seb Borges and a truly professional front of the house staff. So it frees the board up in a little bit to be a little bit less hands-on, a little bit managerial, and a little bit more strategic. How do we fit into the community? How do we make sure that our members who are getting the best services and the most benefits and the most enjoyment possible? Hope that makes sense. Don't tell me I was on mute.
No, loud and clear. Does anybody have any other questions? I don't see any. Well, I can just say that it has been such a pleasure working with Caroline and Lorraine and Susan and Sean on this really historic document, and just watching them go through the details and working with legal counsel and working with Gail Gifford, our consultant, in best practices. It has really been a wonderful experience. And I think that this document will serve the art club well in the future. And I'm very proud. I'm very proud to be sitting here right now that I can be among all of you and say that. So I think, you know, a big thank you to the governance committee, certainly, is warranted here. So when you see them, you know, just tell them everybody's doing a great job. And, you know, as far as Seb and staff, everyone at this art club is just so invested. The members are amazing. I can't tell you the number of emails that I get, just people who want to help, who want to support in various ways. And this is who we are. This is who we are. We're artists, we're arts patrons, and this is who the Providence Art Club is. So if there aren't any further questions, I would like, Carl, did you have a question? Okay. If there are no further questions, and if you would do another scan, Lorraine,
mm-hmm.
with me.
Excellent. Any other questions?
Yeah. All right. Well, I would like a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion, Nancy, and it's at 7 p.m. that we'd be ending the question period.
Yes. Do I have a second?
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much, everyone, for attending. Really wonderful meeting.
Yay. And they need to remember to vote, Nancy, on December 7th.
Thank you. Thank you, Lorraine. Please vote. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.